Adrian in one. All right, so I will call this meeting to order and we'll start with the roll call. So Adrian Barnes.
Here.
Thank you. Dwayne Walton.
Present.
Thank you. Wiley Newber.
Here.
Thank you. And Jason Ryman.
Present.
Thank you. And I am President Josefina Alvarado Mena for the record. We're going to go ahead and go to public comment on closed session items. And this is not to exceed 5 minutes. So do we have anybody for public comment on the closed session items today? Okay, I don't see any public comment. So then the board will adjourn to, Chris Bradburn, go ahead.
Sorry, I was just got in. I just wanted to, I believe you're talking to the labor negotiators on your side. So I just wanted to let you know that voting under the COSATs has been underway and we will be finishing that up tomorrow. We're hopeful, I recognize that you have to, for Brown Act reasons, you need to schedule something in advance. And I'm hopeful that that scheduling might happen sooner rather than later so that your vote can happen as soon as possible. And that I also want to remind you that the board does not need to have the COSATs vote finished before you can vote. So just a reminder about that. We're really hoping to move this forward as quickly as possible. And we appreciate what the board is doing on that. Thank you.
Thank you. And Ty and Susanna, we have this public comment is only on the closed session agenda items. When we come back, we'll have the public comment on the non-agenda items. Okay, great. Okay, so then we will adjourn to closed session and then we will be back for the open session. Thank you, everyone.
So we're going to go ahead and get started. We have to do a roll call and then we will do our land acknowledgement and our meeting norms. So Adrian Barnes.
Here.
Thank you. Sophia Fassad.
Present.
Thank you. Wylan Huber.
Here.
Thank you. Dwayne Walton.
Here.
Thank you. Jason Ryman.
Present.
Thank you. And Josefina Alvarado Mena here for the record. So Romy, would you please project our meeting norms and our land acknowledgement? Thank you. So we'll go ahead and read the meeting norms. The board recognizes the importance of all stakeholder voices at OSA. Collaboration and community are essential to the viability of our school. The purpose of this meeting is for our board of directors to meet with each other and conduct school business, as well as to receive input from the school staff and the community via public comment. Public comment may be made on topics that relate to the school. After hearing a report, members of the public have the opportunity to offer comments in a designated time prior to the board discussion of that agenda item. Outside of public comment, members of the public are also welcome to observe the meeting. Please use the raise hand function to make public comment. If you cannot use the raise hand function, you can sign up for public comment in the chat. We want to be sure to see all the signups, so keeping the chat clear when public comment signups are being called for is appreciated. You may sign up for public comment at any time prior to the conclusion of public comment for that agenda item. You do not need to wait for public comment to be called to sign up, and may sign up for public comment during the presentation of the report or at any time prior. You are not required to include your name with the comment. If you wish to remain anonymous for ease of identifying speakers, please provide a unique and appropriate pseudonym. Due to student and employee privacy rights, please refrain from using the name or any information that could imply the identity of any student or employee. Public comment will be capped at 90 seconds per speaker. To be sure of hearing from a variety of people, minutes may not be transferred to other speakers. The board cannot respond to public comment on non-agenda items. This does not mean the board is not listening. Staff will do our best to respond to chat comments throughout the meeting, but may not be able to respond to every single one. To be sure your comments are heard by board members, please sign up for public comment. If the comment thread becomes harassing or abusive or includes any information that could imply the identity of any student or employee, staff reserves the right to turn off the chat feature at its discretion. We strive to be a learning community that learns from each other. We're also a community comprised of people who care very deeply about the school. We recognize that all voices are not treated equally in our society, but aim to value and respect all voices equally in this forum. We may have different ideas of how to achieve goals, and we may feel passionately about our points of view. This needs to be a safe place for a variety of opinions. Finally, we address each other in a respectful manner to foster collaboration, build community, and to model good citizenship to our students. For clarification on the recording, board members should please state their names prior to speaking. The meeting is being recorded and the audio is posted on the school website. Thank you, Romy. We have the OSA land acknowledgement. OSA is situated on Huiching, the unceded territories of the Chochenne-speaking Lisan Ohlone peoples, who have lived upon this land since the beginning of time. Indigenous peoples in California, the Americas, and around the world are still here. OSA recognizes the historic genocide and ethnic cleansing inflicted upon Indigenous peoples in California and the Americas, including their forced removal from ancestral lands and the deliberate and systemic destruction of their communities and culture. These conditions are ongoing, and Indigenous people have been fighting against cultural erasure and for their sovereignty since the beginning of colonization. To this end, we as a community strive to honor the Indigenous members of our community, uplift their voices and contributions to arts and culture, center Indigenous people's worldviews in our classrooms, and support Indigenous sovereignty everywhere. This acknowledgement is a small act in supporting Indigenous communities and centering the justice, equity, diversity, and inclusion work within the Oakland School for the Arts. Solidarity with Indigenous nations can include donating time and money to Indigenous-led organizations, amplifying the voices of Indigenous people, leading grassroots change movements, and returning the land. Thank you, everybody. We will proceed with the agenda. And I believe we have public comment on non-agenda items. Do we have any signups for public comment? I believe we had a couple, or do we have... There we go. Tracy, Ty, we'll start with you. Tracy, you want to go ahead?
Sure. Hi.
Hi.
Do you mind turning on the light real quick? So I don't want to waste anyone's time, but I have a couple points. The first one is I tried to use the link for through osa.org just now, and I was directed to an incorrect meeting link. So I just wanted to put that out publicly. Secondly, I have a quick note that I wrote earlier today, and I want to share it real quickly. Good evening. For those who don't know, my name is Tracy Thomas. I'm the co-founder and chair of the OSA Alumni Association. I'm also OSA Theater alumni from the class of 2012. Once again, I'm coming to the school board with the request, no different than the last. I'm asking that OSA leadership, OSA school board, or any OSA powers that be, designate a specific meeting for open forum conversation, much like a town hall for all members of the OSA community, including all alumni, to be invited to ask questions, have frank discussions, and designate what information can and cannot and should not be disclosed to the public. For the past 2 years, I have learned to understand that these board meetings are for proper school protocol, although I also acknowledge that many changes in crucial subjects have been discussed and evolved in public forum during these meetings. While progress is great, there's a lot of business that needs to be handled for OSA, and not every OSA board meeting needs to be utilized for controversy talk. I leave that request on the table once again. My second point to everyone in this meeting and to everyone that has a chance to hear, I heed a very specific message. There are notable members of OSA in the entertainment industry, members from my generation, the generation before, and the generation after me that are being recognized in a mainstream fashion. The new clique is peers like Zendaya, Kehlani, Ariel Stachel from the class of 2010, Austin from the class of 2016, and so many others that are crocheted within the entertainment industry, including myself, are now being singled out for one specific reason. They all went to Oakland School for the Arts. I've now seen multiple articles, memes, and tweets about how each of these former alumni used to go to the exact same school. This is a very crucial time for OSA to be recognized, in my opinion. We're in what I believe is a transitional period, coming out very tumultuous, out of very tumultuous controversies, and controversies that those OSA alumni are not ready to discuss to the public because they weren't involved, but they're affiliated with the school. Unfortunately, there is at least one article out there in the public about OSA and recent controversies. I asked the entire community, students, staff, board members, parents, alumni, and any other shareholder to please step back and listen to this message. The school has a lot of work to do to rehabilitate. And the one thing I believe there's a longstanding problem is that the kids have a little bit too much control over the school. I'm not saying every single child has a puppet master string on everyone that's pushing the buttons. I'm not even saying that there's ones pushing the buttons themselves. But even in my time, I will say that during its very early formative years, there was a lot that slid under the radar because of the success that the school was observing. I know I don't have a lot of time, but I want to put this on the table as well. I'm happy to come back and have a conversation with current students, staff, school leaders, board members, and shareholders, along with alumni that are invited to discuss with the students the realities of growing up after OSA and learning that there's a lot more fish that have to be fried way past OSA. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Tracy. Let's go to Ty.
Hi, okay, I'm going to try not to exceed my time. I agree with Tracy that a public forum would be a really good idea, and I think that this, what we're about to talk about, is going to be a good thing to kind of talk about in that space. So it's good to see you all again, and I am sorry that it is again under the circumstances of frustration with policies that are being made and their effect on the student body. A few students are here today to express extreme concerns about the immense amounts of policing and attempts at control of students at OSA this year. Last Wednesday, we entered the school to see that the doors of the bathrooms were bolted open, eliminating basically the one safe space in the building where students were free of being surveilled by adults. And that's not even fully true, because at the beginning of the year, like at our walkout, we expressed concerns that for years security guards have been able to kind of just barge into the bathrooms like without knocking or anything like that. And it was added to our list of demands that you know, policy end, and that we have like one private space in the form of a bathroom, which is like a very obvious public private space. And I feel almost like stupid to have been surprised that after we stated that this made us unsafe when adults came into children's bathroom, and when we asked that the school stop doing this, not only did they continue to let security guards in, but they essentially ended up allowing the entire school to kind of access these private spaces against our will. And I feel stupid because, like, of course they did, because honestly, there have been very few surprises from the school's new policies this year. They've only impressed me kind of with how far they can push students' boundaries without shame, and how easily they defend their actions with basically blatant lies and open promises when we meet with them in person and try to open dialogue. And I'm not just saying that to be whatever. But yeah, early this semester, a tardy policy was also created to punish students with detention during lunch and on weekends, an extremely carceral punishment that does close to nothing to address tardies, and in fact creates perverse incentives to even go to school at all. And when my fellow co-chair of the BSOC and I met with an administrator, the dean, she basically lied to us, kind of saying that no students would get detention until there had been a meeting with their family. And so why was it that today dozens of students got summoned for detention tomorrow at lunch with no prior meeting with parents, with no prior warning, which goes against exactly what she said to us in our meeting. And she has, this particular administrator has shared sentiments with students that she feels that we as a body do not trust her. And I am going to be honest and say that we don't. And there are things that she can do to correct that, but not only is she extremely disconnected from the needs and wants of the student body, but she doesn't ask us when she doesn't know. And even when we directly communicate them to her, trying to be respectful and professional, and even when we take time out of our days and out of her day to try to open this dialogue, we find that she, and not just her, but the administration in general, continue to go against these wishes and often like refuse to acknowledge harm and even expect students to kind of be apologetic for having boundaries, having needs in the first place. And again, I don't want to single out one administrator. I know that this is like common as a thing in the administration, and it has been a thing for years. And I need you all to understand, I know you've heard this before and I know it's frustrating to hear it again, but that community and control and trust and punishment are incompatible in a school. And when we open dialogue with you again and again and again, and you show that you don't care, or it makes us feel that you don't care, I hope that you know that we will stop listening altogether. And honestly, a lot of us have. And I know that you will say that you care about our voices and our safety again and again, but we do not feel that way. And when you create a carceral environment, you do not act like you feel that way. And at this point, it is again on you to repair the damage that you continue to cause. And if our words upset you or make you feel defensive, then please reflect on why you feel that way, why you feel that you can push students' boundaries and expect kindness and obedience afterwards. You have SSEs.
I am going to ask you to wrap it up because we have five minutes for this whole section.
Yeah, thank you. So to the board, we're expecting, we are coming to you in hopes that you will hold this administration accountable, or even, just open, have us continue to have spaces for dialogue, like a forum. But we also don't trust that once we have those forums that we will be listened to. And so if there's any way that the board can hold the administration accountable, since they haven't proven to really listen to us about things like this, then we would really appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. Susanna?
Hi, can people hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to keep mine short because Ty phrased that beautifully. But I also wanted to talk about all the policies that have been put in place recently. It just seems very policey and very like students already have a trust issue with the authority at the school, and it's really not helping all of these policies that are being put in place, especially when there's no student feedback at all on these policies. There's no warnings, there's no parent feedback, there's nothing. It's just like set in place, this is what it's going to be. And I know like all of the students don't like this policy with the doors, and I don't want to sound like I'm only angry at administration, because this is a problem with vandalization, and I am angry at the people who are vandalizing because they're taking away, you know, our privacy to a bathroom. But at the same time, it's a bathroom and it needs to be private. And I don't think a bathroom should be supervised. Students have also expressed that in a specific stall in the bathroom, you can literally make eye contact with people in the hallway. And I know in the boys' bathroom, they took out the mirrors because there's a reflection to the urinals, which is just like really funny to me, because you have to take away the mirrors in the boys' bathroom so that people can't see you doing your business. It's very weird to me. So nobody likes this policy, and people already have been trying to unbolt the doors and everything. But I just think that going forward with these new policies, there really needs to be some sort of form or something, or warning at least, because it just seems very it seems like a power trip to us. I just think there needs to be more student voice. No matter if you will listen to us or not, we just need to express what we think. And if you were, sorry, I'm gonna wrap it up. If your main priority is keeping students safe, then you want students to feel safe. Yeah, that's it.
Thank you. Cassidy?
Hello. Okay, so I have a comment about the bathroom policy in conjunction with the tardy policy, which I know isn't actually new, it's just been implemented more recently. And so recently we've had these new bathroom policies, and it's included not being able to go to the bathroom in the first I think 10 minutes of class, last 5 minutes of class, or switched, and you can only be in the bathroom for 5 minutes, and you're encouraged to go to the bathroom during the passing period, and you're also, there's also not supposed to be more than three people in the bathroom at once, and now we're getting punished for, you know, also being tardy to class, and that just makes it impossible for students to actually, like, go to the bathroom. Like, the bathrooms, regardless of what else is happening in there, like, you know, hanging out or, like, vandalization, regardless of any of that other stuff, bathrooms are meant to be places where, you know, you can go when you need to go to the bathroom. And currently, it's actually sort of hard as students to go to the bathroom. And so I think something needs to be done about this, because it's like, if you actually try to follow all the policies, it's impossible. And you might end up with, like, detention because you tried to go to the bathroom during the passing period when the hallways are extremely crowded. You can't make it to the bathroom and to your next class on time, and then you're gonna get in trouble if you go too many times during class, or if you stay more than 5 minutes when you're in class. And also, there's, you know, obviously there are, you know, you could talk to your teacher if you have a need to go for longer. But honestly, there's so many situations in which someone could need to go to the bathroom for longer, or not even know they're going to be in there for longer than 5 minutes, and not have, like, the ability to go to their teacher and be like, hey, I'm going to go to the bathroom for longer than 5 minutes because they're having some mental health issue or something. We don't have a place for people to go. And I'm going to wrap it up now. I think I have more to say about this, but I don't want to keep this too long. So it's just, I think something needs to be done about that, because it's just impossible to follow all the rules.
Okay, thank you. We have one more person for public comment. Maury?
Hi, everyone. I wanted to just share, in light of the times we're in and, you know, the mental health stressors and everything we're all going through, I kind of, you know, we're all a bit dysregulated. The APT and Mike and Katie have been talking, and we will be holding a town hall meeting on March 3rd at 6:30 about how to come up with positive solutions as a community together to some of these issues. And I don't want to take away at all everything the school is dealing with, but I would share that the APT was very concerned about the policy, the tone of the tardy policy letter that went out to all families. It felt very kind of punitive, and a lot of parents did contact us feeling concerned that the students who were going to suffer and pay the consequences were those without adequate resources on transportation. You know, we also would like to talk about things like bathrooms. I just want to say, as a transgender person, I believe there's one lone restroom that students can use, and that taking a door off creates even less privacy for people like me who have real struggles around the use of bathrooms. So I think if we come together as a community and can talk about some of these issues, I just think it would be really helpful. I invite you all to join us at the March 3rd meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Maury. Okay, thank you, everybody who made public comment. We're going to move the agenda forward to the school policies agenda item. And I believe we have an update from Jason Miller before we have the public comment and then board vote on this item. Jason, you're on mute.
Jason appears to be unmuted, but maybe is having some technical difficulties. Let's see.
You can't hear him either, right?
No.
No. It's not just me.
Mm-hmm. Jason, are you here for Q&A in case anyone has questions before they vote to approve the policies? Let's see, where did he go?
I think he put in the chat that he was going to log out and back in so that he's available for questions. Okay. But if there's no questions, then maybe you can just.
Yeah, why don't we open, why don't we go to public comment first on this item? Is there any public comment on the school policies under consideration for a vote today?
Where can we find those policies?
I believe those policies are on the website, but let me ask Romy to clarify that. Romy?
Yes, those policies have been posted on the website since they were shared at the January board meeting.
Where on the website?
On the board and compliance page. I'll drop it in the chat.
Thank you.
Thank you, Romy. Okay, and is there any board discussion on this item? There we have Jason back. Jason, can you try again?
Is that better? Is audio good?
Yes.
Now?
Yes, right. We can hear you now. Mm-hmm. Did you want to make comment on this item, or are you here just for questions?
Just for questions, since, yeah.
Okay. Any board questions on this item? Okay, I don't see any questions from the board members, so I will entertain a motion to approve the draft school policies.
I so motion.
Thank you, Jason. Can I have a second?
I second.
Okay.
Sophia will mark you down as the second. So let's do a roll call vote. Is there any other board discussion before we vote? Okay, seeing that there is none, hearing that there's none, we'll take the roll call vote. Adrian Barnes?
Yes.
Thank you. Jason Ryman?
Yes.
Thank you. Dwayne Walton?
Yes.
Thank you. Sophia Fassar?
Yes.
Thank you. Wei-Ling Huber?
Yes.
Thank you. And I will vote yes as well. Josefina Alvarado-Mena for the record. So let's move on to the consent agenda. We have three items on the consent agenda. Do we have any public comment on the consent agenda? Okay, seeing that there is no public comment on the consent agenda, I'll entertain a motion to accept or approve the consent agenda.
I'll motion.
Thank you, Dwayne. Can I have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Adrian. So let's, any discussion on the consent agenda? No, so let's do the roll call vote again. Jason Ryman?
Yes.
Thank you. Sophia Fassar?
Yes.
Thank you. Wei-Ling Huber?
Yes.
Thank you. Dwayne Walton?
Yes, there we go.
Thank you, Dwayne. Adrian Barnes?
Yes.
Thank you. And Josefina Alvarado-Mena also vote. I will vote yes. So let's keep this agenda item going. We have the report from our student representative. So Daz, I think I saw you here. Do you want to give your report?
Yes, definitely. Thank you.
Thank you.
I would like to start out with the bathroom policy. Due to recent incidents of vandalism and ongoing parent and student concerns regarding bathroom safety, the entry doors to the bathrooms have remained open since February 15th. All bathrooms have been checked and ensured that all stalls have maintained student privacy as far as the doors to the actual bathroom. Additionally, the gender mutual bathroom is currently positioned on the third floor, will be moved to the second floor, for it is more easily accessed for middle school. And hopefully next week it's going to be discussed about the mirrors to replace under the condition that they remain undamaged, and that students have requested that staff and student security personnel refrain from entering the bathrooms unless there is an emergency situation, violence or noise control that is needed. In our student council, we discussed alternatives to having the entry doors, bathrooms open, possibly using curtains as opposed to a door. We continue to discuss this option and hope to reach some type of compromise. Students have also voiced concerns about possible toilet paper issues, for it's seemed very hardened, and to follow up with Mr. Harris about this possibly happening. Recently we had a Black History Assembly on Tuesday. Students had experienced a virtual assembly in celebration of Black History Month. Originally it was supposed to take place on February 8th. in the Fox Theater, but was restructured virtually due to rise in COVID cases. Many students have submitted videos celebrating poetry, music, art, and dance that has beautifully celebrated the Black experience. Even though the assembly was virtual, it was a powerful experience for our students. And recent events, OSA Talent Show Student Council is hosting the talent show for OSA students to showcase their skills. Auditions will be taking place Tuesday and Thursday, March 1st and 3rd for middle and high school respectively, and encourage students and children to sign up. And the prize is a ticket to any OSA event of their choosing. Middle school and high school dances, details are still being worked out, but middle school dances are scheduled to be taking place in late March before spring break, and high school dances mid-April when we return from break. Students are really excited about having events looking forward and socialize and have fun. And Student Council has recently discussed for Earth Day celebration. I talked to Student Council of thinking of ways we can celebrate and honoring the Earth. Some ideas we brainstormed were just like community cleanups, a park day for meditation and yoga, going outside, kind of having a hippie day, having classes done outside for the day, going green, or having like gardens, visiting gardens. We continue to discuss upcoming weeks and hopefully have something in place for April 22nd. Thank you.
Thank you, Dallas. We have public comment on your report. Do we have anybody for public comment? Okay, no public comment. So open it up for board questions or comments about your report. Well, I want to thank you for sharing those updates with the board. And I think it's encouraging to see that a number of student events and student assemblies are, you know, back in motion. So thank you. Thank you for all your hard work. And let's keep going to the next agenda item. So we have a very brief report from myself, the board chair. I wanted to announce that we have two new co-chairs of our governance committee. And those co-chairs are Dwayne Walton and Jason Ryman. And the governance committee will begin meeting again. Thank you, Dwayne and Jason, for accepting those co-chairships. I don't know if Dwayne, you want to say anything about that?
In terms of meetings, you know, based on the bylaws, you know, they're sort of ad hoc. So we may not have a meeting frequency, you know, like others may be familiar with for the equity committee, et cetera. But we are two things, and I just want to acknowledge, you know, Maury and the APT team for reaching out, just so the larger community know, you know, we're already having conversations regarding potential candidates, you know, to join, you know, the board. Nothing has been formalized yet, because as I shared with APT, Jason and I, first goals are really to prioritize the work of the governance. And I think there's two key things as of right now. One is the bylaws that we had put on hold, you know, for some time, as well as also board development. So kind of really going through an exercise. And we just kicked that off over the last week of just getting an assessment back from the board to evaluate skills that the current board bring. And then that'll help us identify any gaps and much to what I'm glad to hear is kind of in alignment with some of the conversations we've had with the head of school, Mr. Oz, around kind of the direction. So we need to take in those multiple factors, and then hopefully we can kind of identify those core skills on the board to help achieve kind of where the school and the larger community wants to go 3-5 years from now. Thanks, Josefina. That was really off the cuff, but yes, we're passionate about, you know, moving this forward.
Thank you, Dwayne. And I would just add that you and I had a great meeting today with the two members of the Board of Students of Color about an internal student election process to elect the future board member representing the students of color at OSA. So that is in progress as well. Before we leave this item, I did want to take the opportunity to thank Kimberly Pollamore. And I'm going to give her the floor in a minute, but I really want to recognize Kimberly for her tremendous work and contribution to the OSA community, and really wanted to give you that acknowledgement. Kimberly, would you like to say something?
Hi, everyone. I'm sitting outside of my son's basketball practice right now, so excuse the car background. I did want to say, I'm not sure if our entire community knows at this point, but back in, I believe it was June of last year, I accepted an opportunity for a greater leadership role at a different charter school where I could focus not only on finance, but also on business management as well. So a way for me to just kind of expand my role. So like I said, that was back in June. But I have stuck around and held on to help out until we were able to find someone to transition into the role at OSA. So throughout the first semester and still some into the second semester, you know, I just wanted to make sure that the transition went as smoothly as possible so that the school would be in a great position to continue on in the financial department. I have really, truly enjoyed my time at OSA. I've grown so much. I've built some great relationships, people like family. You guys know my daughter attends the school. And so I will, you guys will still see me around, but just in terms of the finance role at the school, I'm now officially transitioning out of a transition I started in June, which was, you know, it's been a while, but it's been my pleasure to continue to stay on and help until we found a great mind and, you know, someone that could continue on with being transparent with the community and working with the board and working with CSMC, you know, working with Mike and Lisa at the time, just to ensure that everything continued to move forward. So I just wanted to say thank you to everyone for supporting me. It's been a great 3.5 years. At the school. I hope I was able to bring some clarity. And I mean, my conversations have not always involved the best delivery of information. I guess I'll put it that way. Finances are always a tricky topic, but I hope I was able to make things a little bit clearer and that our community was able to get a better understanding of the finances and our financial position at OSA. So thank you guys so much. I appreciate it. And I'm looking forward to seeing my daughter continue on in the visual arts department. Thank you so much.
Kimberly, you are very loved and appreciated. And before I open it up to the other board members, I did wanna, we have to have a public comment period. So is there anybody for public comment on my report? No public comment. Okay, so other board members, do you want to, any comments or questions?
I just want to second the thanks to Ms. Kimberly for her service to OSA and steadfast commitment to charters in Oakland. Thank you so much for all that you've done.
Thank you, Adrian.
Thank you.
Anybody else before we move on? So with that, let's go ahead and move on to the next agenda item. We have the finance report and the presentation of the second interim report, and this requires a vote. So Ms. Montgomery.
Hello, good evening. And I would also like to second how wonderful Kimberly is, sir, someone who's come in her shadow. She is such a wonderful teacher and mentor in terms of helping someone learn when you're stepping in kind of cold to a new organization. So thank you for your support and your teaching, Kimberly. It's been a pleasure to work with you, and I hope we continue as colleagues out there in the charter world.
It's so funny, Joyce, though, before you go on, that you say the teacher role, when I was actually in a class that Joyce was teaching about financial literacy and charter management. So I think we've gone both ways there, but it's been a pleasure working with you, Joyce.
Thank you. We are a learning community every day. So Ms. Mania, were you expecting the fiscal outlook to also be reviewed or just the second interim?
I think we just have the second interim on this agenda.
Great. Okay. So Romy, you have the slide deck. Are you going to bring that up?
That's David, and he'll have it up in just a second.
Okay, great. And thank you, David. So in the package is the second interim report. Just a brief presentation. The second interim is part of our required reports to Oakland Unified as our authorizer. It's one of four reports that we do on an annual basis, the first one being the budget report that we submit in July. The second report is the first interim that is as of the end of October and submitted, I believe it was in the November board meeting where it was approved. This is the second interim and it's due by March 15th to Oakland Unified and then to the County Office of Education. And then the final one is the unaudited actuals, which are submitted in September. Our requirements with our authorizer is that it be reviewed and approved by the board. And there are changes, as you know, we have changes from the original budget that was approved by the board and then from the second and the first interim. And so there's a chart that shows the changes in the revenues and the expenses and the differences. So if we could go down to that table on the second interims. The second interim is a collaborative process. There are meetings that discuss the changes. Next slide, please. Stop right there, please. So it's a collaborative effort. Mr. Oz, Ms. Palmer have all been on part of the process where we've discussed a number of the changes and updates to the budgets as we go forward. This particular interim does not include the COSAC's contract adjustments due to the time period covered. And this is the best information that we have currently available. The amounts will change over time. So it's a snapshot of what has happened through the end of January and what we anticipate will happen for the rest of the year and over the next 2 years. Next slide. So these are the changes from the approved budget, the first interim and the second interim. When we look at the changes in more detail in terms of the revenues, essentially their enrollment is causing a negative impact on the state revenues, but there have been some changes to the fundraising efforts and a number of other small changes that have increased the revenue stream by about $400,000, and that's a positive change. We've also had some negative changes in terms of the expenses, although I would say one of the changes from the first interim to the second interim, I think is actually a correction. There was a change from the certificated teacher salary line item from the approved budget to the first interim, which lowered that. And I think what was anticipated there was certain roles that had not been filled were not going to be filled. And now I think we've corrected that back up to very close to budget. So the net change is really only about a positive $4,000 in certificated teacher salaries, with the acknowledgement that roles that we had budgeted did need to be filled. They were just filled perhaps at a later time. There have been some changes to the diverse learners caseload, which is causing increases to some of the support salaries or support FTEs, as well as associated benefits. Some of the other changes that have been noted is some additional equipment that has been purchased and some other professional consulting costs that have been included. So I'm happy to entertain any questions that the board might have. We will require a motion for approval for the second interim report.
Thank you so much. I think we have public comment before we actually go to the board questions and discussion. So is there any public comment on this item? Okay, I don't see any public comment on this item. So let's open it up for any board questions or comments, discussion.
Joyce, I just want to thank you for jumping in as well. I know that this has been a tall task and I appreciate everything that you're doing. I have just one quick question in terms of the interim report itself. Where are ESSER and other one-time funds? I'm assuming those are in other state revenues?
I believe they are. It's one of the things we have to go back and check with CSMC, because when I was looking at the changes between the interim reports, it wasn't really clear to me where they were located, since mm-hmm. the ESSER funds came in after the budgets were approved in June. Mm-hmm. So I can update you at the next board meeting on that.
Okay, wonderful. And if there aren't any other questions, I would love to make a motion.
Are there any other questions? Okay, then there's no other questions, so I will accept your motion, Adrian, and ask for a second.
I second.
Thank you, Sophia. Any board discussion before we vote? Okay, seeing that there's none.
But let's just say one thing?
Oh, yes, go ahead.
You know, obviously, this is a less than ideal budget. We would not want to ordinarily see a negative number. And, you know, I think we all know what some of the challenges have been with enrollment and other issues. And I also, you know, but I think it's a really great challenge and opportunity for us to come together, you know, and to just put all of our effort and energy into working together and fundraising. And it's so great to see, you know, the administration and APT collaborating on this, to see, you know, how close we are to actually having an agreement with COSAT. And I really, you know, think it's a good time for us to just, you know, pull together and figure out how we close this gap together as a community.
Thank you for that, Wylene. Any other board comment or discussion before we vote? Okay, let's go ahead and take a vote. So Adrian Barnes?
Yes.
Thank you. Dwayne Walton?
Yes.
Thank you. Sophia Fassad?
Yes.
Thank you. Wylene Huber?
Yes.
Thank you. And Josefina Alvarado-Mena, I vote yes as well. For the record. So thank you for the presentation. Let's keep going to the next item on the agenda. That is the Executive Director Report. So we'll go ahead and hand it over to you, Mr. Oz.
Sure, and I'm pleased to announce that it will be a brief report, because we've all been doing this for a while today and everyone's tired. Three-part school update. LCAP mid-year update provided by Katie Zog, our interim principal, COVID update by Mr. Roos, and then I'm going to step back in and give you guys a pertinent community engagement update as some of the comments were connected to what I'll be presenting. So I'll hand it over to Katie and we can go to the next slide.
Hi, this is just a quick little update. We're required to complete a supplemental document for our LCAP for this year. It doesn't change our original LCAP or the six goals that we laid out, but what it does ask for is specifically how we used our ESSLR 3 funding and some other grant funding that we did not receive. But the bulk of it was, of course, connected to COVID prevention and custodial services. The remainder does still align with the rest of our LCAP goals, which is great, which is specifically around academic intervention technology. The document will be posted on our website, and the end of year one outcomes on our LCAP will be shared at the end of the school year. So this is just an informational piece. That's it.
Thank you.
And Mr. Roos with the COVID update. Next slide, please.
All right, I'm gonna try to make this short and sweet as well. Mr. Oz told me I only had 3 minutes to give you a brief overview, so I'll try to make it in that time. So this slide, there's only two slides. The first one is giving you a look at some of the, basically our COVID numbers from the beginning of the school year up until last week. So as you can see, in the first semester, we had very few COVID cases overall. We had 3 cases from August to December for teachers and students combined. The numbers spiked, as you can see very clearly from the graph here, when we came back from winter break, but they've since dwindled quite a bit. The cases for staff are pretty much non-existent, and the cases for students have gone down significantly in the last few weeks. 2 weeks ago, we had 2 COVID cases for, this was all just students. We haven't had a staff COVID case in a while, but we had two COVID cases 2 weeks ago. Last week we had four, and this week we've only had one reported case thus far. So it seems like the numbers are beginning to stabilize in the under five range, and I'm confident that will continue. You know, cases are in decline all around the county, so it seems consistent with that. We've thus far not had any reason to believe that infections are on campus or a result of campus spread. Our community continues to remain diligent in implementing mitigation strategies and working together to keep one another safe. And then the next slide, we're going to look at just an update on some of the policies. So I just wanted to state, you know, publicly here that we have officially shifted from a 10 to a 5-day minimum for quarantine and isolation protocols. So anyone who tests positive for COVID must isolate at home for at least 5 days after the onset of symptoms. You can leave isolation after day 6, so long as you have improved symptoms. You've been fever-free for a 24-hour period without the use of fever-reducing medication, and you show proof of a negative COVID test. Alternatively, you could opt to isolate for the full 10 days and return to school on day 11 without the need for a negative COVID test, as long as you've met the criteria of having improved symptoms, having been fever-free for a 24-hour period. And this is something that I definitely put in the COVID emails when I send out to people, because it's not uncommon for people to continue to test positive, you know, for even up to 90 days after testing positive for COVID. So there are some people who have to wait the full 10 days because they aren't able to test negative, get that negative COVID test between days 5 and 10. But if you are able to, you can return as long as you have improved symptoms and meet the other criteria. So contact tracing and exposure letter. When we first came back from break, we adopted the group contact tracing approach under advisement from the Alameda County Department of Public Health to avoid redundancies in contact tracing due to the rise in COVID cases. Now that the number of COVID cases have declined significantly, we will go back to sending close contact emails to the individuals who were directly exposed to the COVID positive individuals. There will not be a separate COVID positive email that will go out to the entire community for each COVID positive case. Rather, that information is just going to get consolidated into a weekly update. And I send those out every Friday. And you can also access that information on the website. Mask protocols. In response to the state's new masking guidance, we're no longer requiring masks to be worn outside, which is good news for our PE teachers and students. N95 masks or their equivalent continue to be required for of all students and teachers, regardless of vaccination status in indoor settings, unless actively eating or drinking. The last thing I wanted to update you on is the mask exemption. In compliance with the California Department of Education, OSA will allow students with a physician-documented medical or mental health condition or a disability that prevents wearing a mask to apply for a mask exemption. As you all know, you know, we're obligated by law to provide an education to all our students. If it is determined that a student has a medical or mental health reason that precludes them from wearing a mask, we're required to make the proper adjustments to ensure equitable access to public education. An email was sent to teachers yesterday, and an announcement is going to be going out to the rest of the community, most likely tomorrow. And that's all I have. I may have gone over 3 minutes, and I apologize for that. But
you did, Anna, but we can forgive you. And that was great. I want to thank you, though. I mean, the diligence you put into all of this all school year, it's so unpredictable, the waves. And I'm always relieved when the numbers go down because your workload decreases significantly on this, too. You've done an amazing job keeping us all up to speed. Yeah. Next slide, please. So one of my priorities, and this is in response to many conversations I've had and a lot of feedback I've gotten, is to really focus on strategic community engagement. Let's provide the right outlets for the right types of conversations. Let's do it in a way that's transparent. Let's do it in a way that's predictable, in a way that's ongoing, so that all members of our community know how to be involved in the ongoing conversations. And Tracy Thomas got me thinking already on how to be even more strategic with alumni beyond these already existing events here. So with that goal in mind, we're going to be releasing an engagement calendar for the rest of the school year. It's going to serve as a template for what we hope to put in place at the beginning of next school year for a calendar for the entire year, so everyone can know right off the bat what the community engagement process looks like, including town hall meetings. We intend to partner with APT on many of these, maybe not all of them. The upcoming APT meeting next week is focusing on creative solutions to student behavior issues. And this is, you know, the town hall setting where we can really focus in on those like nitty gritty details of what is impacting the student and family experience at the school. We had a tradition at one point in time of having directors' coffees that kind of disappeared partially with COVID and maybe a little before. I want to bring that back, and this may evolve into a senior leadership team coffee. I just haven't confirmed with all members of the team that they'd be willing to join me, but I think it would be great to get the six of us available on a monthly basis for a more casual kind of just sit, have coffee, talk. We can provide general updates, get that FaceTime. And from my experience, you get your regular kind of people who really like that kind of communication kind of touch point. And I look forward to bringing it back. Board meetings and office hours. I mean, Josefina, you could share more if there's more to share, but Tracy made a very good point. We need to maintain that this is a great place for you guys to handle the high level official school business and ensure that all the other outlets are in place so it can remain focused as such. I don't know, Josefina, if you wanted to add anything to that.
No, I think that's great. I mean, we'll definitely be, you know, having more conversation about the board engagement, and we're continuing to, you know, build out the board itself. So there will be opportunities to engage with the board here as well.
And then the final thing is more of an internal function, but I want to make sure you all are aware of it, is an LMC, which is that opportunity for our COSATS unit members, not just the reps, but all interested unit members, to have access to school leadership. We can discuss issues. This is a non-negotiation setting where we can talk about the things that are impacting us and make sure that we're all on the same page. So as we move forward, I hope there's calendars in place, a calendar in place that shows each of these things on a monthly basis, and we have predictability. That's it from me on the school report.
Thank you, Mr. Oz. Thank you, Katie and Mr. Roos, for their reports. We're going to go to public comment and then board discussion. So I see we have one person for public comment, Chris Bradburn.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask for those town hall meetings. I'm hopeful that they're going to be scheduled during a time when staff and faculty can be there, because in the past they've been during the school day. I just want to make sure that the whole, all stakeholders are included in that.
They will be, Chris. I'll just answer now. That's great. Part of the plan there. The coffees will not, of course, but that's a very different kind of setting.
Well, we still want coffee, but.
Yeah, we'll have to deliver you some up to your classroom.
Okay, thank you for that public comment. Are there any board questions or comments or suggestions? Also, if there's other information that the board would like, now is the time. Now is a time that you can, you know, share if you want to see other things in the executive director report. Okay, I don't see anything, any questions from the board members. So thank you all for the report. Let's go on to our next agenda item, our last agenda item. Sorry, Steve, not last. Last but not least. Do you want to get us started on the advancement report?
Actually, Mike's going to lead us off.
Great.
Yeah,
thank
I was just
going to
give a little bit of a preface here and just say that another one of my priorities and like where I'm carving out a lot of time is to work directly with Steve on advancement. We have some needs ahead of us. It's going to take a lot of concerted effort. And I've watched Steve work really closely with that team and been very impressed with his leadership, and also been very impressed with both how Crystal and Val have been able to adjust through transition. And I feel really confident that we're moving towards a place where we're setting up an infrastructure that can improve our fundraising efforts for the school, and not just fundraising, but general advancement efforts throughout the school. So I just wanted to share my appreciation for Steve and his team prior to hearing from him on what's going on.
Thanks, Mike. And a fundamental thing to have in place for advancement to be successful is the commitment of the ED. And Mike has already prioritized and is very much engaged in the advancement goal and building the advancement infrastructure. So that's very much appreciated. Just an overview of where we're at year to date. We're at 61% of the goal. We're at 50% of the annual fund campaign, but I expect that number to increase significantly in the next couple of months. And we're ahead of goal in terms of grants and foundation giving. Next slide, please. Mike, did you want to start off by saying something about the annual fund?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it's been an interesting year for annual fund. Our participation is only 24% at this point. I want to not get too concerned at this moment. There's been strategic reasons why we delayed some of the... Thanks. There's been some strategy as to why we've delayed some of the initiatives, and all, that's going into like full gear right now. And it's not just going into full gear in terms of previous practices, but also really evaluating what are the best methods. How do we really kind of cultivate the culture of philanthropy here, engage all people? We need to see that 24%, in my opinion, get as close to 100% as possible. We're not expecting to see the ask met by all families. There's obviously equity issues there, but it's symbolic in terms of how the percentage is very symbolic in terms of how committed people are to a school. So Steve, add whatever you want on top of that, but we're focused on it.
Yeah, I would say the annual fund was largely silent and invisible in the fall for obvious reasons, given where we were as a community. But I think there's a lot more energy that you're going to see in terms of the annual fund in the next couple months. We've just sent out 600 letters to families who've not given year to date to the annual fund. And we'll be following up with those families. And then every 2 weeks for the next couple of months, there'll be communications about the annual fund, but also about exciting things that are happening at OSA. We have a phone-a-thon this weekend, which I'll talk about. And then Mike is very much committed to working with the arts and department chairs to get faculty and pathway engagement in this effort. Next slide. So the phone-a-thon is on Sunday. We have 10 parent volunteers. Our goal is 24, so we'll be looping back with APT to see if we can get a few more parent volunteers. And the purpose of the phone-a-thon is really to start calling those families who've not given year to date, and also the new families, to talk about the annual fund. What is the annual fund? Why is it important? And what kind of commitments can we get? So those who will be participating in the phone-a-thon, they'll be provided with a script and some training. Mike and I will be participate. And again, we're continuing to partner with APT in recruiting volunteers. So if anyone would like to join us on Sunday, it's a virtual event, so you can do so from the comfort of your home. And it's a great way to connect with other parents. Next slide. Heart of Oakland, really looking forward to an opportunity to come together and celebrate virtually OSA, our mission, and showcase the students' art. There'll be a silent auction, there'll be fund a need. So right now there's a lot of activity focused on designing materials, securing sponsors and auction items, building the online infrastructure, producing the show, etc. Again, we've been largely silent on this, so you'll be hearing a lot about Heart of Oakland. It's an opportunity to get excited and come together and celebrate OSA. So, Mike, I don't know if you want to add anything about that.
No, I think some of it kind of comes up on the next slide, which I'll take.
Okay. Next slide.
Oh, maybe not this one, the one after. Go ahead.
Okay. So another important component of advancement is major donors and institutional giving. Actually, today started a process of mail and email outreach. We've cultivated about 250 major donors who've been with us for the past 5 years and shared with them a case statement that really focuses on OSA's mission, programming, impact, and need, and invites a conversation and is the beginning of an outreach strategy, which a lot of folks in leadership will be involved in as we start having coffees, tours of the campus, et cetera, to reconnect with donors.
Next slide, please. So this is back on the subject of transparency. There has been for well over a year now, I've heard ongoing concern around transparency around the financial situation of the school. Where are the priorities? How are we spending our money? What are our fundraising efforts? I don't think this is I think this is a relatively easy problem to solve. It's providing people access to the information and engaging not only the greater community, but also our faculty in the discussion. So here's a few things that I have in line just to kind of start bringing everyone into the conversation. Next Wednesday, I'm going to be giving a brief, but pretty filled presentation to all of our faculty on the current financial situation, future vision, and overview of our advancement work. So everyone has the language and knows what we're working on and knows what sits ahead. From that, I want to work individually with the arts department chairs to discuss the artistic vision within their sub pathway, and then have that lead into creating the solicitation letters that each of them will send out, very personalized to what happens within the sub pathway, celebrating student successes, alumni, and works as an effort to increase the annual fund contributions. I want to also look into the contributions by grade level, the percentage. I do think we have underutilized how influential our academic team is on the lives and the success of our students, and that connects to the annual fund. And I think there's potentially a missed opportunity here that without putting a burden on people with a pretty like light lift, we could engage our academic teachers and have them be more involved in this process. And I think grade level data would help us understand that. Once we get information out internally and everyone feels well-versed on our end in terms of the financial situation, I also want to bring that to a town hall setting so our families can get engaged. Alumni, maybe there's a separate one for alumni. Tracy, we can talk, or maybe they join that town hall, but I want to make sure people understand where we're at, what our efforts are, why this is important, and where it will bring us in the coming years. In addition to this, just heightened awareness to the annual fund through all types of communication. And APT expressed to me and Katie recently in a meeting interest in supporting this initiative, which is great because we need to depend on all of our networking and support structures to get the message out there. I think that's it.
Thank you so much. Let's see if we have any public comments on this item. Chris, do you have more public item, more public comment, or was this from the last item?
I think that's from the last item. I was going to say one of the things I always worry about with the budget, when we laid out the budget, I want to make sure that the expenses for advancement are being deducted from the amount raised, just to give some true transparency, because there has been times in the past where there's been a lot of money spent on advancement. And not as much, you know, comparatively. Just want to make sure we're looking at the net, not just the gross.
Okay. Any other public comment before we go to board questions and discussion? Okay, no. So board comments, questions, discussion.
I just signed up for the phone-a-thon. And I did it 2 years ago. It's really fun. There are a lot of people who are just like, oh, I forgot. Thank you for the reminder. So highly recommend it.
Hey, thank you, Eileen, for that. Other board comments, art questions, discussion? Okay, I know we have had a long board meeting. So we want to thank you both. For closing us out. Really great information from the advancement work. I mean, I think that we can clearly see there's been an acceleration of this work. And, you know, I know we have plans to continue to accelerate, but it really does require all stakeholders to lean in and help this carry this lift. And we absolutely need to do it. We have, I think, some aspirational, but also real practical goals that we will need to reach in terms of advancement. So thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for participating in the board meeting. We're going to adjourn the meeting now, and everybody have a good evening. Take care.
Thanks, thank you. Everyone.